Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is the Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
Welcome to your personalized deep dive. Today, we're taking a closer look at Humana. Yeah, we're going to be using their quarterly report and the transcript from their recent earnings call to try to understand what's really going on with this healthcare giant.
Yeah, these documents are fascinating. You know, they can tell us so much about a company's priorities, the challenges they're facing, even give us a glimpse into their future direction.
Okay, so let's dive in. When you first opened these Humana documents, what jumped out at you?
Well, the first thing that really grabbed my attention was the scale of Humana's bet on Medicare Advantage, you know, MA. They're heavily invested in this market, and it's driving a huge chunk of their revenue. Like, just look at this. Premium revenue from individual MA plans alone surged over 11% this quarter compared to last year.
11%? Wow, that's a massive jump. But isn't this reliance on MA a risky strategy? What if the regulations change or competition heats up?
You've hit on a crucial point. This dependence on MA definitely makes Humana vulnerable. Changes in regulations, rising healthcare costs, even fluctuations in their star ratings could have a big impact on their bottom line.
Speaking of star ratings, I know Humana's been in the news lately because their ratings took a hit for 2025.
Right.
What's the story there, and what does it mean for you as a potential customer?
Well, those star ratings are a big deal for both Humana and consumers. They're a quality rating system from CMS, you know, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Right.
And they directly impact how much bonus money Humana receives and how attractive their plans look to potential enrollees. Lower ratings mean less bonus money and potentially fewer customers choosing their plans.
Ouch. That's gotta hurt. I also read that Humana is suing CMS to challenge the ratings. What's their argument?
Well, Humana claims that CMS's rating methodology is flawed, and they're disputing three specific calls related to their call center performance. What's really interesting here is that if they can overturn those three calls, it could potentially bump up their star rating on a major contract and help them avoid a significant financial hit.
Three calls. It's amazing how these seemingly small details can have such a huge impact.
Yeah, it is.
Do you think they have a case? Or is this just a desperate attempt to salvage their ratings?
It's hard to say for sure, but I think this situation really highlights the inherent tension in the star rating system. It's supposed to be this objective measure of quality, but it relies on data that can be subjective and open to interpretation. This raises questions about the fairness and transparency of the system itself.
So are the star ratings truly capturing the quality of care? Or are they more about checking boxes and meeting bureaucratic requirements? It really makes you wonder.
Yeah, it does. And this dilemma feeds directly into another challenge Humana is facing: balancing investment in quality improvement with the need to maintain profitability. You know, they're pouring money into initiatives to boost those star ratings, but those investments are cutting into their profit margins.
It's a classic catch-22. They need to invest to improve their ratings and attract customers, but they can't afford to let their profits dwindle too much.
Exactly. And if we look at Humana's recent earnings call, we can see this tension playing out. Jim Rechtin, the CEO, said, "We do need to see some things unfold over the next few months to establish how much room is in there." So they're trying to figure out how much they can invest without jeopardizing their financial stability.
It sounds like they're walking a tightrope. They're trying to please investors, but they also need to make sure they're providing high-quality care.
Right. It's a balancing act that a lot of healthcare companies are struggling with. How do you prioritize the financial health of the company while also ensuring the well-being of your members? There's no easy answer.
And then there's the two-midnight rule, which was supposed to make things simpler. But from what I've read, it sounds like it's actually created even more confusion in the healthcare world.
Yeah, the two-midnight rule was intended to clarify when hospitals can bill for inpatient stays. But it's caused a lot of friction between payers like Humana and providers like hospitals. both sides seem to be interpreting the rule differently, which leads to disputes and appeals.
So what's Humana's position on all of this?
They insist they're applying the rule correctly, and they point to their own audits and even a CMS audit as evidence. However, hospitals are pushing back, claiming Humana is denying inpatient claims too quickly and forcing them into this long and costly appeals process.
So it's a standoff. And in the end, who pays the price for this confusion?
Well, you got it. It's a standoff that just creates more uncertainty and inefficiency in the system. And unfortunately, this often leads to higher healthcare costs for everyone. Providers are spending more time and resources on appeals, while payers are facing increased administrative costs. And those costs ultimately get passed down to consumers in the form of higher premiums and out-of-pocket expenses.
That's not good news for anyone. But amidst all these challenges, there seems to be a glimmer of hope with Humana's CenterWell segment, right?
CenterWell is definitely an interesting development. It's Humana's foray into directly providing healthcare services, and it seems to be doing quite well. They're rapidly expanding their primary care clinics, and they're seeing strong growth in home health and pharmacy services.
So they're not just managing insurance risk anymore. They're actually getting involved in delivering care directly to patients.
Yeah.
What's the significance of that move?
Well, it suggests that Humana is shifting its focus from just managing risk to actually delivering care.
Yeah.
And this could potentially lead to a more integrated and cost-effective healthcare model.
Can you give me a specific example of how this integration is playing out?
Sure. CenterWell's intersegment revenue, which refers to sales to Humana's own insurance arm, grew over 7% this year. So they're successfully leveraging their insurance and care delivery functions together, which could create a more efficient and coordinated model.
So they're betting that if they can control more of the healthcare delivery process, they can improve quality, lower costs, and boost their profits.
That's exactly right. And it's a strategy we're seeing across the healthcare industry. More and more insurers are recognizing that the traditional fee-for-service model just isn't sustainable. They're realizing that they need to be more involved in managing and coordinating care to achieve better outcomes and control costs.
So it's a pretty big shift from simply paying for care to actively shaping how that care is delivered. It'll be really interesting to see how this plays out for Humana and for the healthcare system as a whole.
Absolutely. It's a bold move with the potential to really transform healthcare. But it definitely comes with its own set of challenges. Can Humana successfully manage the complexities of providing care while also navigating a constantly changing regulatory environment? Only time will tell.
Well, one thing's for sure. Humana is on a wild ride.
Indeed. And we've only just begun to explore the twists and turns of their journey.
We're back and ready to continue our deep dive into Humana's world.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground already, from their big bet on Medicare Advantage to their struggles with star ratings and the headache of the two-midnight rule. We've even touched on their move into direct care delivery with CenterWell.
It's a lot to process, but I'm curious to connect the dots between these individual pieces and understand the bigger picture. What does all this mean for Humana's overall financial health?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? When you look at their financial statements, you see a company juggling competing priorities. On one hand, they're investing heavily for growth, especially in MA and CenterWell. This is reflected in their increased capital expenditures and acquisitions.
So they're spending big to expand their reach, but what about the other side of the equation? How are their profits holding up?
Well, that's where things get a bit more complicated. While they're pursuing growth, they're also facing pressure on their profitability. One key indicator is their benefit ratio, which measures how much they spend on healthcare claims compared to the premiums they collect. That ratio has been creeping up largely due to the rising medical costs we talked about earlier.
So they're spending more to grow, but their costs are also increasing. That doesn't sound like a recipe for financial success.
You're right. This is putting a squeeze on their profit margins. It's a classic dilemma. Do they prioritize growth at the expense of profitability, or do they pull back on expansion to protect their margins? It's a tough balancing act, and Humana is having to make some difficult choices.
So what are they doing to address this financial tightrope walk?
Well, they're trying to do a bit of both. Keep investing in growth while also finding ways to cut costs and improve efficiency. One area they're focusing on is administrative expenses. They've implemented a number of initiatives to streamline their operations and reduce overhead.
It sounds like they're trying to tighten their belts. But I have to ask, is it enough? Are these cost-cutting measures really sufficient to address their long-term financial challenges?
That's the key question, and only time will tell. If Humana can successfully control costs while continuing to grow, they'll be well-positioned for the future. But if they can't keep those two forces in balance, they could face some pretty significant headwinds. Their profitability could continue to erode, which would put pressure on their stock price and make it harder to attract investors.
So the stakes are high, and Humana is at a crucial juncture. Their future success really hinges on their ability to manage this delicate balancing act.
It's almost like they're at a crossroads, facing a fork in the road. One path leads to sustainable growth and profitability, while the other could lead to financial strain and a struggle to remain competitive. The decisions they make in the next few years will be critical in determining which path they ultimately take.
This has been a fascinating deep dive into Humana's inner workings. We've uncovered their successes, their challenges, and the complex decisions they're facing. But before we wrap up, I want to bring it back to the human element.
Of course. After all, healthcare is ultimately about people.
Exactly. So how are these financial pressures impacting Humana's workforce, and how are employees reacting to these changes?
It's important to remember that Humana has a large and diverse workforce, and these financial challenges are undoubtedly creating anxiety among some employees. There have been reports of layoffs and restructuring in certain areas of the company.
Layoffs are never a good sign. What impact is this having on the morale of the remaining employees?
It's hard to say for sure, but it's likely that morale has been affected. Anytime a company goes through significant changes, especially those involving job losses, it can create uncertainty and stress. Humana needs to be mindful of this and take steps to support their workforce during this transition.
What specific steps can they take to mitigate these negative impacts and keep their employees engaged and motivated?
Well, clear and consistent communication is crucial. Employees need to understand what's happening, why it's happening, and what it means for their future. Humana should also focus on providing opportunities for professional development and advancement so employees feel valued and invested in.
So it's not just about cutting costs, it's about investing in their people. They need to create a workplace where employees feel supported and empowered, even in the face of financial challenge.
Exactly. In today's competitive labor market, companies can't afford to neglect their employees. A strong and engaged workforce is essential for long-term success. Humana needs to remember that happy and fulfilled employees are more likely to provide excellent service to their members, which ultimately benefits the company as a whole.
Okay, so we've talked about the financials, the workforce, but let's not forget about the most important stakeholders, the patients.
You're absolutely right. At the end of the day, everything Humana does should be focused on providing high-quality, affordable care to its members. That's their core mission, and it's what will ultimately determine their success. We can't lose sight of that.
But how are all these challenges, the financial pressures, the star rating, struggles, the move into direct care delivery, impacting Humana's ability to fulfill that mission?
That's a complex question with no easy answers. On one hand, their investments in areas like CenterWell and technology have the potential to improve patient care and make healthcare more accessible. They're expanding their network of primary care clinics, offering more telehealth options, and using data analytics to personalize care.
It sounds like they're making some positive strides, but I sense there's a but coming.
There is. While these investments hold promise, their focus on cost control and profitability could lead to cuts in benefits or increases in premiums, and those changes would directly impact patients' wallets and access to care.
So it's a double-edged sword. They're trying to innovate and improve care, but they're also under pressure to keep costs down.
Mm.
And ultimately, it's the patients who could end up caught in the middle.
Exactly. It's a delicate balancing act, and Humana needs to be careful not to lose sight of their core mission, providing quality, affordable care while pursuing their financial goals. They can't afford to sacrifice patient well-being for the sake of profits.
It sounds like they're walking a very fine line, trying to balance the needs of their business with the needs of their members. It's a challenge that many healthcare companies are facing today.
Absolutely. It's a constant tension in a complex and evolving industry. Finding that sweet spot where they can be both financially successful and provide excellent care is the ultimate goal.
Well said. This deep dive has been incredibly insightful. We've really gotten a glimpse into the inner workings of Humana, their successes, their struggles, and the critical decisions they face.
It's been a fascinating exploration, and it's a reminder that even the largest healthcare companies are grappling with fundamental questions about how to balance financial performance with quality care and patient satisfaction.
And as we've seen, there are no easy answers. It's a dynamic and ever-changing landscape, and it'll be interesting to see how Humana adapts and innovates in the years to come.
Indeed. The healthcare industry is constantly evolving, and Humana's journey is far from over. There are sure to be more twists and turns along the way.
Well, I'm ready for the final part of our Humana adventure. Are you?
Absolutely. Let's move on to the grand finale and see what key takeaways we can glean from all this information.
Okay, so we're back for the final part of our deep dive into Humana. We've looked at their financials, their workforce, and how their decisions could impact patients like you.
We've uncovered some really interesting stuff. Now let's step back and kind of put it all together. What's the big picture here? What should our listeners be paying attention to when it comes to Humana's future?
That's the big question. After going through all these reports and analyzing their strategies, what do you think is the most important thing for Humana to succeed or even just to survive?
Well, it's fascinating to me that Humana's at a crossroads right now. You know, they're making this huge bet on two big trends, the growth of Medicare Advantage and the shift towards value-based care. And these trends, they're both big opportunities, but also big risks. If Humana can navigate all of that successfully, they could become a leader in this rapidly changing healthcare landscape.
So lots of potential, but also a lot of uncertainty. What are the specific things that will determine whether they make it or not?
Several things are going to be key. The first one is those star ratings. They really need to improve those scores for 2025. You know, those lower ratings were a big hit. They've got to make some serious improvements to rebuild their reputation and attract new customers. And remember, those ratings directly affect you as a consumer. They influence what plans you can choose from and the quality of care you get.
So brighter stars are a must. But how do they actually make that happen? Is it just about spending more money?
It's more complicated than that. They need to find the right balance between investing in quality improvements and keeping costs under control. They can't just chase after better ratings without thinking about the impact on their profits, or they risk hurting their financial stability and their ability to serve you well in the long run.
Right. It's about being smart and making investments that actually benefit patients like you. What else should our listeners be watching out for?
Another crucial factor is how well they integrate their insurance and care delivery systems through CenterWell. That's a really tough thing to pull off. It remains to be seen if they can actually create a smooth and well-coordinated experience for patients. Can they break down the traditional barriers between insurance and care to create a system that actually works better for everyone?
So CenterWell can't just be its own separate thing. It needs to be a truly integrated part of their overall strategy. Now, what about all the external factors? How will all the changing regulations affect Humana's ability to succeed?
That's an important point. They need to stay on top of the regulatory landscape. You know, the healthcare industry is constantly changing. New regulations like that two-midnight rule we talked about create a lot of uncertainty and disrupt their operations. So Humana needs to be flexible and able to adapt, ready to adjust as needed to comply with new rules and handle unexpected challenges.
So they need to be nimble and ready to change course quickly, kind of like navigating a ship through a storm. You've got to be adjusting your sails constantly to stay afloat.
That's a great way to put it. The healthcare world is not for the faint of heart.
Right.
You need strategic vision, operational excellence, and a willingness to embrace change. Humana's ability to make it will depend on how well they can learn, adapt, and innovate in this ever-changing environment.
This has been a really fascinating look into how Humana works. We've seen their successes, their challenges, and the tough decisions they're making, all of which have a real impact on you as a healthcare consumer.
Definitely. It reminds us that even the biggest healthcare companies are dealing with these fundamental questions about how to be financially successful while also providing quality care and keeping patients happy. And these questions directly affect things like your access to healthcare, how much you pay for it, and the quality of the services you get.
As we've seen, there are no easy answers. It's a dynamic and constantly evolving industry, and Humana's path forward is uncertain.
Absolutely. But here's something to think about as we wrap up our deep dive. What if Humana's success doesn't just depend on navigating these industry trends, but on completely redefining their relationship with patients like you? What if they go beyond just providing insurance and delivering care to actually partnering with you to help you achieve the best possible health outcomes?
That's a powerful idea. It's about moving away from a transactional approach to healthcare and towards a more collaborative and patient-centered model.
Exactly. It's about understanding that healthcare isn't one size fits all. It's about understanding your individual needs and goals and working together to create a personalized care plan that empowers you to take control of your own health. That's a challenge that goes way beyond just Humana. It's a challenge for the entire healthcare system.
But if Humana can figure it out, they could create a new model for the future of healthcare, one that puts patients first and prioritizes their well-being above all else.
That's a vision worth pursuing. As you go through your own healthcare journey, remember, you have a voice and you have choices. Be an active participant in your care, ask questions, and speak up for your needs. Your health is your most valuable asset, and you deserve the best care possible.
That's a great message to end on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Humana's world. We hope this has given you some valuable insights to help you navigate the complex and ever-changing world of healthcare.
It's been a pleasure exploring this with you. Remember, knowledge is power. Stay informed, stay curious, and keep asking questions. Your health and well-being depend on it.
This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening. This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.